We'll just start with a story. Of all the minhagim of Purim, so clapping during Haman's name is something that sticks with me for as long as I can remember, because one of the first Purims that I can ever personally recall where I was and what I was doing was Purim of 1996, where there was a bombing in Dizengoff in Tel Aviv that morning, and a number of people were killed, hundreds of people were injured, and it was also the end of what I recall almost a week cycle of four suicide bombings over the course of that week. And everybody was very disturbed and very sad, and it was certainly a solemn Purim as Purim began in America. And when I came to shul that night, the rabbi of my shul, Rabbi Rubenstein, Alva Shalom, so he got up and he spoke to the shul, and he noted that in light of the circumstances in Eretz Yisrael and what had happened, so he said, that night, that Purim 1996, we would clap during Haman, we would certainly fulfill the minhag of making noise during Haman's name, but at the same time, we would limit it. And we would only make noise when we said Haman's full name, Haman ben Hamdasa Hagagi. And at that time, that night, on that Purim of 1996, that's what we did as a shul. And it was something that always stayed with me, because when you have something and then it's taken away from you, so you see that you took it for granted for a very long time. And everybody knows that you clap when you get to Haman's name. And the minhag we'll discuss in a moment is not as clear-cut as we think it is. But in my mind, it always stayed with me as a very holy custom, because when you do something as a child growing up and then someone takes it away from you and then you receive it back the next year, so that minhag becomes very special to you because you missed it at a certain point. And it always struck me, this minhag of clapping during Haman, and what is the source of it? And seemingly we know everything comes in the name of Simchas Purim, but what's behind the source and the custom as well? So we're going to try to cover those who support the minhag, those in Jewish history who do not support the minhag, and the reasons behind it. So the Rama writes in Siman Tov Reish Sadi in Sif Yud Zayin in Bahilchos Purim, the Rama says, "Umizesh nisravev haminog shemakim haman kishikar ma'megil beis haknesses." That in which we clap, that we make noise when we say Haman's name in shul. Vein levatel sheminog olalag alav. You should not remove any minhag or make fun of it. Kilo lachinam hukva. It was not for no reason that it was established. So clearly, when the Rama has to say that, clearly he's coming to defend something that is under attack. That there were people who wanted to remove the custom of making noise. Much of what we're going to say regarding the history is probably from the most seminal article written about this topic, is in the Torah Journal Or Yisrael, in volume 19, where Gedalia Oberlander, who's a fantastic Talmid Chacham, wrote an article that pretty much every other author ripped off afterwards. So we're going to quote from the original, the Or Yisrael in volume 19, Rabbi Oberlander, and how he puts together the history of the minhag. The Yerushalmi in Megillah in Perek Dalet says that after reading the Megillah, we should say Arur Haman Varura Zeresh, which is what we do in the piyut afterwards, because the pasuk says in Mishlei, Shem Rishayim Yerkov, that the names of the Rishayim should rot, they should be destroyed. And by making noise when you say Haman's name, we're saying that we don't want this name to last, it should be wiped out. Which obviously is ironic, because by making a whole point of it, we're highlighting his name. But that's not for right now. The Avudraham in Hilchos Purim cites the Sefer HaMinag of the Ibn Hayarchi. And the Beis Yosef cites the Orchos Chaim Rav Aaron of Lunel in Hilchos Megillah. And the Rama cites this minhag of the children of Provence and France who would take rocks, and with the edge of the rock, like you do on the street, you can draw on the asphalt by grinding against the darkness of the streets. So they would take rocks and draw into the ground image of Haman, or they would write his name, Hey Mem Nun. And when the name of Haman was read in the Megillah, they would erase the image of Haman, or they would erase the name of Haman. And this is the earliest source going back to the earliest days of the Rishonim to make noise or to do something when Haman's name was said. This fits with a number of midrashim. It says, Mechoem chazechra malek, we should wipe out a malek's remembrance. Tim chazechra malek, or even say, on wood and stone, says the Medrash. Even if you see a remembrance of Haman and a malek on wood and stone, you should destroy it. And Rash at the end of Parshas Kisetze cites the Pasuk in Shmuel, Me'ish v'yad yishom, me'alel v'yad yonek, mishor v'yad seh. Every aspect of Amalek needed to be wiped out. And therefore, even the name needs to be wiped out, so to speak. And the name shouldn't even be found even on an animal. Comes the Kav HaYashar of Rav Heschel of Krakow, and he wanted to test if his quill would work all year round. Now, you get a pen. You want to know if the pen works. You want to try it out on a piece of paper. So when we try out our pens on a piece of paper, what do? We make a little scribble, and that's it. When Rav Heschel of Krakow would try out his pen, even, you know, in Tishrei, even in Av, he would write a Amalek on the paper, and then he would wipe it out. That's how he tested his pen. So this custom was found in other places as well. So this is talking about the specific the name, or doing something to an effigy, some sort of image or name. But what about the idea of making noise? So later on, a newer minhag developed to make noise at the mention of Haman, and this is what the Rama records, the Tanya Rabasi. Before there was Lubavitcher Rebbe, there was the first Tanya, one of the Rishonim. And he cites the Shibboleth Halakha in the name of Rav Shlomo, who said that there were places where when reciting Asher Heina, the piyut we say after the Megillah, they would say, Baruch Mordechai, Berucha Esther, Arur Haman, Arur Zeresh, and then they would stamp their feet and make noise with pots and pans when they said it. So already all in the earliest days of the Rishonim. The Levush, the Talmud of the Rama, writes in Tafreit Sadi, which is where this is found in Shulchan Aruch, and he says, the very knocking that the children usually do when they hear the name of Haman is to fulfill Shem Rishayim Yirkov, to wipe out the names of Rishayim, and Timcha Zecher Amalek. And then he says, I'll bring you a remez, also where we find it. It says, V'haya im bin hakos rasha. Talking about the halakhas in the Torah, giving malchus, of when you lash someone. V'haya im bin hakos rasha. That's what the pasuk says. So he says, V'haya im bin is sofe tevos haman. Hey mam nun, hakos rasha. When you have haman, you should hit the rasha. And he brings another remez as to hitting or making noise by Haman's name. And then he concludes, Yesh lichtov shem Haman al ha'etzim shemakishim behem ubekachim chok shmo. Again, they would write it on something and then hit it against the ground. Comes the Tshuva's priest Sada, which is probably one of the earliest sources of somebody complaining about too much noise during Haman's name by Megillas Esther. And he's one of the Hungarian Rabbanim. He writes in Chelek Gimel. He says, there must have been Ruach HaKodesh in the Rama. It's the only place in all of Shulchan Aruch where the Rama says, V'ein levatel sheminhag. There's not a single other place in Shulchan Aruch where the Rama says, and don't get rid of this minhag. And since he knew that people were going to complain, people are sensitive to noise, people get crotchety and they become curmudgeony, and they don't like too much noise. And the Rama says, even for you people who don't like too much noise, ein levatel shum minhag. It has to stay no matter what. And the priest Sada rejects the complaint of the questioner, saying there are people who don't come to shul because they think it's too noisy. So the priest Sada says, grow up. Don't go daven somewhere else. The minhag of Klal Yisrael is to make noise. No, even if you don't like it, this is what we do, and it shouldn't be stopped, even if people aren't coming to shul. Most of the Rishonim note that it's the minhag of children to do this, and some say the entire shul, but you find it earliest it's the minhag of children. And we'll get back to children at the end of our discussion. The Magen Avraham cites the Levush who said that adults should just say to themselves, Shem Rishayim Yirkov, during the Megillah. What's the problem with that? Hefsek. So the Sharat Zion, the Mishabu and the Sharat Zion says that adults shouldn't say anything. And he says it's not even a hefsek. Why? Because it's in Yonad of the Megillah. I'm not saying something that, if you're talking about that thing, just like the famous case of Pass the Salt, if you're talking about that thing, so it's not a hefsek. But it is an issue, he says, because if you're going to be talking, then it may lead to speaking and not listening to the Megillah. So it's better to say quiet and not say anything. But that minhag fell out of use. We don't say Shem Misham Yerkov, but the adults do sound the grogger and stamp their feet as well. What are the reasons, other creative reasons that are brought for making noise? So the Chida writes in the Machzik Bracha, he says there may be future kings who want to impose persecution on the Jewish people, and they're going to come against the Jewish people and cause trouble. So on Purim night, we make noise and we raise the roof in the shul and we make a lot of excitement. And the non-Jews walk down the street and they say, what's with the Jewish people? Why are they making so much noise? And they come inside and they say, Haman and Esther and Mordechai, the whole story. And they say, we shouldn't mess with the Jewish people, because if we start up with them, their God is going to come and bring revenge upon us. And therefore, we make noise, says the Chidah, as a warning to the rest of the world not to start up with Klal Yisrael, to think twice. In fact, the Ibn Ezra has a piyut that I think the Sfardim say, Ashkenazim don't say, but the Ibn Ezra's piyut for Purim, he writes, Shom'ei davar ben hamdasa, tipol aleihem emasa. Those who hear the story of Haman, of what happened to him, fear will come upon them. So the Ibn Ezra is already hinting to the idea that by publicizing what happened by Purim, it will hopefully help us out later on. Reb Chaim Pelagi, the famed rabbi of Izmir, writes in the Ruach Chaim that when we hit in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, lets Haman and his wife be hit in the next world. Whatever that means, some sort of metaphysical hakah, hitting that goes on in the Olam HaMS. There's a similar Ksav Yad that we have from Rav Eliezer of Girmaiza, the student of Rav Yehuda HaChassid. Listen to this wild story. Pam Echa Shal Higamon Be Ronsberg, the mayor of Ronsberg, he asked Rav Yehuda HaChassid, Lama Tem Dovkim Al Haksalim Kisha Tem Maskirim Es Haman? Why do you guys bang on the walls and the doors when you mention Haman's name? So Amar Lo, he told him, Kol kach tefeko shanu dovkim, hashedim dovkim lo begehenim. When we knock in this world, the shedim, the spirits in Gehenim, knock on Haman and his family. So he told him, the mayor asked him, Minalach, where do you know this from? So he said, Bo be'arecha, come and I'll show you. Halach imo b'hareu b'pesach Gehenim. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid took the mayor of Ronsberg to the entrance of Gehenim, whatever that means, and he showed him that they were knocking on Haman. So the mayor said, Im ha'isi etzlechem, ha'isi misei alechem hiskot, lakoso. If I was Jewish, I'd also do it too. Keep up the good work. So we see this idea found in the earliest Rishonim as well. The last reason, or the last popular reason given, is brought by the Chassam Sofer in two tshuvas, one in Orach Chaim, one in Yerodeah. He also writes this in his notes on Shulchan Aruch, and it's also brought by his Talmud, Rav Shmuel David Margolios Yaffe, in his Perish on Pirkei Avos, the Mili Davos. And he says, in reality, we don't want to hear Haman's name. We want to close our ears and say, no, 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 no. We don't want to hear Haman. But what are you supposed to do? We have to hear the Megillah. So we're here and we're there. What are we supposed to compromise? So we listen to the Megillah, but we make noise as if we're drowning on Haman's name so we shouldn't hear it. Obviously that saunders into halakhic issues, but we'll get back to that in a moment. When do we make noise? So we know the minhag in most kehilas is by every mention of Haman. The Shibboleth HaLeket says we make noise when we say the name of Haman only during the piyut that said afterwards. That has fallen out of practice. The clear minhag from the Ramban the Avudraham is that every single time the Haman's name is mentioned, we should make noise. The Makor Chaim, Rav Yoyer Bachrach, the great Rav in Germany, in Tufresh Tzadi, actually heard, interestingly, I heard 2 weeks ago in a shiur from Russia Weiss, that Rav Yoyer Bachrach didn't want to print his Makor Chaim, because the Magen Avraham was printed right before he was about to print his work. And when he saw the Magen Avraham, he said, I have nothing to offer. The Magen Avraham did everything. So he hid his manuscript away, and he was afraid to publish it because he thought it would seem redundant. But we know the Makor Chaim is an important work of Minhagim and Chedushim, and so it's a good thing he printed it. He's not the only person that it happened to. The Maharam Shik, the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, he was about to publish a master commentary in Halacha on the Sefer HaChinuch. And it was about to go to print, and a rabbi in Europe printed what? On the Sefer HaChinuch? The Minchas Chinuch. And the Minchas Chinuch came out right before the Maharam Shik was about to publish his Kedushim, and he writes in his introduction, he became depressed, he thought he had nothing to add, and he scaled back, he just printed a small country on the Sefer HaChinuch. And chaval for us, we don't have the Maharam Shik's work because he got depressed and he didn't publish the whole thing. Sometimes it happens in Jewish history. Anyway, so Rav Yair Bachrach writes that he saw men and women stamping their feet each time the name of Haman was read in the Megillah. And this is the opinion of the Ben Ish Chai and Parshas Tzava, and the Mishnah Berurah cites this as the minhag in the name of Rav Yaakov Emden, in the name of his father, the Chacham Tzvi, all the way back almost to the days of the Ramah. And the Sefer Matamim says that the name of Haman appears 54 times in the Megillah, which is Gematria Im HaKolel of Macha, meaning it's 53 plus 1. Not for our discussion right now. And the gematria of Mecho Emche is Zehaman. So all different types of Ramazim to every single time, all 54 times in the Megillah. The Beis Yosef and the Kaf HaChaim say they would make noise by the sons of Haman as well. The Ben Ish Chai says that his personal minhag was only to stamp his feet by the first mention of Haman and the last mention of Haman. The bookends, the beginning and the end. The minhag of worms was to hit when saying V'yikua Yehudim b'chol oyveyem, the Jews would strike their enemies. And the father of the Shla, who will hopefully be discussing in a few weeks by Shaul Shudis, but the father of the Shla in the Emek Bracha says that we only make noise at the downfall of Haman, only when Haman is on the way down. And the Shamech Hagiga, Rav Yisrael Yaakov Al-Ghazi, notes that Gedolei Yisrael were against the meaning of making noise. And the only heter of the Shulchan Aruch was by the section of the downfall of Haman. And the Kesser Shem Tov, Rav Shem Tov Gagin, who was a Sephardic Rav in London in the 1800s. So he writes in Chelek Beis that they would only make noise at Esther Perek Zayin Pasuk Vav, where it says Haman Hara Hazeh, and then by the 10 sons of Haman, but not by the whole thing. And the last minhag is brought in the Itim Labina of Rav Yosef Ginsburg. He says the minhag of only making noise when saying the full name of Haman ben Hamdasa Hagagi, the minhag that I referenced before at the beginning, only appears 4 times, or Haman Hagagi in Pereches. And he says this was the minhag in Lita and Belarus. He says in Lita and Belarus, they only made noise by Haman's full name. The minhag of Rav Eliel Opian, as brought down by the Talmidim, was to make noise at Haman ben Hamdasa Hagagi Tzorer HaYehudim, which only appears twice in the Megillah. So Rav Eliel Opian only did it 2 times. So those are the different minhagim, and this is the support of those minhagim that we will follow tonight. Who is against clapping by the Megillah? Who's on the negative side? All we saw so far was the Shoel to the Pre-Sadeh, who complains about the noise. And we saw Rav Al-Ghazi said that this wasn't done in the past, but we saw a lot of people saying we do clap. So the Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Sadi cites the meaning of making noise, but then he quotes the Ma'aril. The Ma'aril in Hilchos Megillah did not make noise, meaning the author of the Ma'aril goes out of the way to say that the Ma'aril did not make noise, meaning people were, then he was against it. And this is important only because Minhag Ashkenaz mainly streams through the Ma'aril. So that's certainly an important Marimakom. And then there's the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim was very much against clapping by Haman. And he says, Yatza Scharim Behav Seda. He says, you're going to be so firm about the Minhag, but what about hearing the words of the Megillah? You're going to lose out, and it's going to tell people, it's going to get people confused. Then comes the Chafetz Chaim and the Sharet Zion, and he cites the Prima Gadim, that even if you don't miss a word, it's still a problem. And he has the following chiddush. It's usher to make a break in silence, to not be doing anything in the Megillah, because for the Baal Koreh, because the Megillah is called an Igeres. The Megillah is called a letter. And we know that the way we read Megillas Esther is with a little bit of speed, not rushing through it, but a little bit of jump. Because when you read a letter, you want to read quickly to the end to see what's going to happen. So the Prima Gadim says, if the Baal Koreh stops in the middle of the letter, it's a hefsek in the shame igeres. It's a lack of chalos igeres, of being a letter, if he has to stop because people are making noise. And therefore the Prima Gadim was against the practice as well. What do we say about the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, the last two great poskim in Europe? So, Lefi Anias Daiti, the Mishnah Berurah has a complicated relationship with making noise during Megillah reading. He seems to be very passive-aggressive about it. He doesn't like it, but he thinks it's okay. I'll give you some examples. The Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Sadi continues that the Baal Kori should be quiet when the noise is made for Haman so the listeners don't miss a word. And because the children aren't always able to control themselves, everyone should have a Megillah in front of them so they can read along in case they miss a word from the Baal Kori. The Shulchan Aruch says it's proper minig to bring children to shul to hear the Megillah. And the Mishnah Berurah says on this, Ubilvad shelo yaviu ketanim biyoser shemaval v'mdasa shomim, not super young children that will ruin the Megillah for everybody listening. V'achshav bavanuseinu harabim nahafochu. He makes a pun of Purim in his own commentary. Nowadays things have been switched around. Shelavad sheinim shomrim elahem mevalbalim shigam hagadolim einim yichol nushmoa. The people make noise, the children make noise, and things are ruined. The older people can't listen. V'kol biyasam hu rak l'hakosas haman. We're supposed to bring the children to shul to be mechanech them in hearing the Megillah. But what ends up happening, says the Chafetz Chaim, we're mechanech the children to come to shul and make noise. What type of a chinuch is that? Uvazeh ein ha'av mekayim mitzvah chinuch klal, and that is no mitzvah chinuch for the father. The parents have to sit next to the children, so they should listen to the Megillah, not just to sit there and make noise. Nebuch, the child is allowed to make noise as the Chafetz Chaim. I'll give him permission to do it, he says. But that should not be the main reason to bring the children to the Beis Medrash. So already the Chafetz Chaim seems to be pulling teeth. He doesn't seem to love it, but he's saying we'll allow it in this case. Then he writes in the Bir Halacha. He says, Bevadai kevana ha-mechaber hu dafka la-ketan m'shigil l'chinach. Only children reach the age of chinuch should come to shul. Da'ketanim biyoser rak mevalblin. Kmo shekasam agad avram. They're going to mess up the kriyas megillah. Vim kein mai shayach minag tova halo medina mechuyev lechanach mekriyas megillah. You're not teaching them megillah. You're teaching them to make noise. Vulai debazeh hayyotze im hayakor lefneam beveisam. Maybe they should be. Children should read in shul. At home, Ava Kadei Lefarsam Neis Beyoser Minag Lavim Beis Hamedrash, but there's Pirsu Benisa, so he schlepped the kids to the shul. So the Chafetz Chaim seems to be torn about making noise during Kriyas Megillah. The Yafel Alev, the son of the Rav Chaim Palashi, objects to making noise in the name of Haman for a few reasons. He says it's Kalos Rosh, it's being silly, it leads to damaging the shul, it's a violation of Lo Sasun Kein Lashem Elokeichem. The Sefer HaChinuch says damaging shul property is Nisr D'Oraisa. It can be dangerous if something goes flying. You have a grogger and something, you know, flies off and catches somebody in the eye. Or it can cause hatred from the government if we make too much noise, all different types of things. So Rav Chaim Chalashi's son was against the minag. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to be in the same camp as the Mishnah Berurah. Listen to the Aruch HaShulchan. He writes in a very subtle, but also a bit, you know, aggressive about the minag. He says, first of all, as we saw before, the minig and lita was only to make noise by Haman's full name. Because we want to highlight that Haman came from a Russia. He says, any minag that's established by Gedolei Ador is a custom. V'lo minag shenagu ba'atzmam, but not a minhag that people come up with by themselves. And he says, v'ayma shekasavti, what I wrote earlier, u'kishemakim haman lo yikra v'yishtok, the Baal Kori should be quiet and not read. And then in parentheses, if he has not already been enough of a downer on making noise, the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you look in Maseches Sofrim, it says, "De minog shein lo rayim min haTorah, Torah have katoa b'shikul hadas." A minog that has no source in the Torah is a mistake in people's understanding. So you see, the Aruch HaShulchan, based on his Mar Makomos, doesn't seem to love making noise, but the Rama says it's a minog, so it's a minog, and he won't object against it, but he tries to limit it at the end of the day. In the new editions of the Aruch HaShulchan, they have the notes from the margins of the editions of the Pnei Menachem. So if you look in the new editions by the notes of the Pnei Menachem, so to speak, almost is responding to the Aruch HaShulchan. And the Pnei Menachem says, look in the Magen Avram, Sheminag Mevatel Halacha. Minag is mevatel halacha, says the Pnei Menachem. And don't come and tell us that, you know, it's against ruining the Megillah reading. The minag of Klal Yisrael for centuries is to make noise, and that's what Jewish people do. And this is the minag that stands at the end of the day. The minag with Kedusha and Tara is to make noise by Haman's name, obviously with respect to people around you and respect to the Kriyas Megillah, but it is a holy minag that comes from a holy place, and it should be kept up, and it should be supported, and it should not be knocked down or made fun of. And we should have a wonderful Kriyas Megillah with a wonderful wiping out of Haman's name, and it should be zechus for all of Klal Yisrael.